Good day, evening, afternoon, I don't even know her anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Clubhouse. Yes, we are doing a one-size-fits-all episode where we'll spend 15 minutes, Dragon, 15 minutes just reviewing the fuckery the that game. Was what happened with the box at the weekend and then obviously move on to previewing this weekend's games. As usual, it is me, G Gav, joined by Hizzle to the Bizzle, H to the B. What's up, brother?
How are you doing? Hey, bro. How are you doing, guys? Having one of those weeks, but it's brilliant, you know. I'm hoping to see some Springboks kicks this weekend.
Oh, God.
Delivery.
That was dry. That's are you sure you don't work for Savannah? Ooh, but that shit was dry.
Ooh. Hey, I'm doing some dad joke patches.
Hey, oh my God. Oh, hey, whoa.
You did what's that?
Yes,
you
Is
someone baking a bun? I know someone baking a bun on your behalf.
Chris Frost, I think your homie's doing something, huh? Chris Frost. Yes, sis. Yes, sis. Anyway. And Drago, how are you doing, bro?
I'm all right, man. Glad to be back. And
how was Rwanda?
Rwanda was Rwanda. A good experience. Second time there. Second time there. Enjoyed it. It's missed out on a lot of this stuff. Having to put it all into 15 minutes is going to be hard. I don't want to lie because I got a lot of things to say. But let me try.
Sorry, bro. You're on the clock. Let me set a timer.
Guys, get emotional about these things. Eh? These runs can go.
There's one that I've got with Gavin because I know Gavin's biggest one is going to be your TJ Perinara.
Please wait.
But we'll get onto that.
Right. No, listen. We may as well get stuck into it, right? First thing is TJ Perinara was shite. He was horrible. He was terrible. Just bad. He was just plain guck. On Saturday, right?
Rewatch the game?
George Bridge was also jut. Jut, but he had some costly.
Another level.
He just had a bad game. And I can't believe, right, that box supporters, most of you, I don't understand, right, how some of you are just like so blind to the fact. I was arguing with a box supporter during the week, and he's like, yeah, you know, we controlled the game, but, you know, the plan is working. I'm like, if the plan worked or if it was working, you wouldn't have lost your third game on the bounce.
There is no plan. There is no plan.
There is no plan whatsoever.
No plan.
It just, it's frustrating. Oh, my goodness. So
let's start off with, like I said, I'm a big fan. I like that forward play that I've always been a big fan of that because that's why I like the Bulls, the Cheetahs, and even a part of the box when they do play. But I think where they're taking the game now is now really to the edge of, you know, right at the edge. They're right on the edge of taking us to another level where we're going to develop a distaste for the way they're handling the game. I think those stoppages are uncalled for. Yes, the rule books allow for it and you can kind of make it work for you, but this is now just a bit much. Let's play the game. We can't have these games going over an hour. What is it? It's not fitness. That much I can tell you. Those guys are well conditioned because the second half, they came out firing. So they didn't run out of legs. But this tactic of slowing down the game to that extent needs to stop.
Oh, that's rubbish.
Nyakane holds Amor. Not even, he didn't.
No, he didn't go near
he
play.
He held. And then he goes down for 3 minutes to get Vaseline on his forehead. Guys, no. This is no longer, it's not exciting anymore.
That, when you describe it like that, it sounds like guys unfit or guys unhungry. Which one is it?
Okay, look, it's neither. What they're trying to do is they're trying to stop the momentum of the game because they understand that if they let the game build momentum, that they're going to get smashed. They understood that they weren't going to be able to keep up. And for some reason, and not even that, for some reason, it was very sort of, it's a tactic that showed a lack of confidence in themselves where they have no reason to lack confidence. That is a good team. Those are good players. And that is the most frustrating thing, is when they actually build phases and they go at Oaks. You know what I mean? They can do, they're actually something. You know, they're actually really good. But then they just decide to play this whole, this frustrate them and slow it down to a snail's pace. Like, honestly. Like, really? It's sad. It's actually sad. Oh, man.
No, no. That game was ridiculous.
Yeah, but also, to be fair, what also made that game ridiculous was the fact that New Zealand were not clinical enough. They played into the box game plan by allowing themselves to get caught up in that mess, in the sense that they got a bit frustrated. They ended up doing things that were, some things that were a bit of out of character, and rushing
TJ,
a lot of play. So, are we going to get into the TJ thing now?
Let's go.
Okay.
Nice segue.
I think, look, he didn't have the greatest game, definitely, but when I rewatched the game, this is what happens when you've got a 4-hour flight, right? You pick random random shit to do, like, I'm going to rewatch the game. I'm going to watch TJ Perenara and Bo de Barrett. TJ's passing was not great, but he actually made two errors. Two accuracy errors. So he's definitely not Aaron Smith. And that's where we keep getting it wrong, right? That when TJ comes on, he is not there to play the role that Aaron Smith plays. He is there to play his game, which is, it's not a fast game. It's quite slow. It's a more controlled game. That's how I would describe it.
Okay.
It's a slow, more controlled game. And when you watch how he played on the weekend, he controlled it pretty well around the fringes. He made two accuracy errors. That was the one, was definitely the one to Havili, which was off that mall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch the replay, the ball was held in by a fucking dumb forward. Yet when Havili was already making his run. So that's semantics. Either way, he needed to be accurate. He needed to put it into play. He was shaping quite well on the fringes. He actually attracted quite some attention from the defenders that were on the fringes to try and create space. That was also how I felt they were trying to play. But he wasn't great. And to me, I just feel like the whole team was not great because they had a plan. But the plan didn't work. They all lacked accuracy. Bowden Barrett was the worst for me because I think I counted about 4 passing errors, accuracy errors from him, right? Where the All Blacks should have scored, and then suddenly Bowden passes that ball wide and shit, it goes behind Havili and he's having to turn back to catch the ball. The other one, he missed Rico totally. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me trying to defend TJ, but I just felt that it wasn't as bad as it seemed.
You know what I think with New Zealand is? New Zealand have sort of like they have stable players who you can call upon when you want the game to go in a structured, non-spontaneous way. That's your Aaron Smith, your...
Not your TJs.
No, please. No, Aaron Smith, maybe... No, Aaron Smith.
No!
Richie Mwanga. I don't know who you can put at 15. I think it's Bridge. We can put at 15.
Come again?
Or structured again? Play. Who could you put at 15? Who could you put at 15? Don't say Georgie.
Let's say Georgie. No, but okay, so let's be fair on G-Mac.
On the opposite end, hold on. On the opposite end, you have your dynamic, spontaneous players. You have your Bowden Barretts. You have your D-Max. And from Perenara's previous game, you have your TJ Perenara's. Not this last game, the other game where the dude breaks the line and kicks to the corner. Those are the players that you didn't have. But then if you start TJ regularly, you force him to become a player he's not. It's like watching a movie and then you make the comic relief the main character. Don't do that.
Yeah, okay. Nah, fair enough.
Don't make the person who's meant to come in, who's been watching the game from the bench and spice things up because you need to make a statement or you need to win. Don't make that guy the guy who starts out and you want him to have structure.
Fair play. You have been debating with people all week because that is just spot on. I agree with HB.
That's a fact.
That is very well put. TJ has it's a shame. He should have gotten his chance to become a starter when he had his chance, but he's a finisher. He's now a run-on. He's just not a starter, you know. And look, if you wanna, you can't just, let me tell you something, Dragon. Errors get compounded. So if the nine gives a shit pass, more than likely the timing of the backline move is gonna be off and it's gonna be shy.
Yeah.
This is coaching 101. This is rugby 101. Not even so much shoveling shit, but like we've got to be more scientific about it. The way we speak about it, it's compounded. The error is compounded. Mm-hmm. Every single pass that gets thrown, the error is compounded. And there's some things that you're like, dude, and even there was a time where the All Blacks had built momentum. They break, they're putting pressure, they're two, three meters out. Perenara gets to the breakdown and he's busy bobbling the ball. And you're like, Batum Dara, you're two meters out. And when he bobbled that ball, the runners coming off him, their timing was off. And then he had to take a wrong option. Mistakes may be mistakes, right? But the reality of it is, the winning and losing of international rugby is on mistakes and capitalizing. That's where the winning and losing is. Right? That's where it is.
Yeah.
And Perenara, just too many errors. And even pushing the tempo, the reason why Kolisi and Co. got to him at the breakdown is because he was too slow at the breakdown.
No, but dude, some of the cleanouts were freaking poor. They were horrendous.
But he was too slow.
The cleaning was horrendous.
He was too slow.
Brody was the only one who was ready to clean out on Saturday.
But you know the funny thing is, there are times where Aaron is the first man to the rack. And he's moving ball.
Yeah.
He's shifting that ball. He's the first one there. The guy's been tackled. He's placing the ball. Aaron is on it. Did you see Aaron's little video this week?
Oh, yeah.
That was to show you that I'm coming back this week.
Kendra Coxage did the same thing, just for the record. I'm just going to say.
Not the trick shot video. There's a one masterclass. I'll send it to you guys. That was going
on.
With the
Manawa 2 Turbo one.
Yeah, when he's at F45.
Yeah, I think so. I think I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, you don't ask TJ to go and do, and you don't ask TJ to go on and be Aaron. You ask TJ to go and be TJ. And unfortunately, TJ being TJ means he needs to come off the bench.
I think one thing that's also affected this whole situation is the coaches haven't put enough trust in a guy like Brad Weber. Let's be fair. I think he hasn't been given enough opportunity.
No, hold on.
So Brad Weber has had chances. I think he's only started. I would be surprised if he started more than five tests. Right,
and this is a
everything off the bench. He's lucky to get a shot. All I'm saying is they have not put enough faith in a guy like him for them to be able to use him as a starter who is going to deliver the goods. You've got to give some of these guys a chance to actually go out there and play, and they will build their confidence. When he's playing at Chiefs, that guy is a killer, dude. He is a killer.
To be perfectly honest with you, right? People are ranting and raving, saying Falao Fakatava is coming back and he's going to take Weber's place. Weber isn't the one that should be scared. The guy that should be scared is TJ. Because Falao Fakatava is TJ Perenara, but better in certain aspects.
He's like a mix of the two.
But he loves the physicality, which is what you like from TJ, is the physicality and the mana and the leadership. But Falao brings it, bro. Falao brings it. So, yeah, man, like, I don't see Weber losing out because I think Weber still moves that ball. Bar Aaron Smith, he's the fastest passer in New Zealand. Straight.
Well, the person hey, who's Christie's coming pretty well, eh?
Respect us.
Guys.
Finlay Adipatite.
Mark my words. Watch Finlay Christie. Watch him. I'm telling you. Mark my words.
We'll see. Anyway, so let's move on quickly. The teams have been announced, and yes, it seems our prayers have been answered. Dave Rennie has finally started Pete Sam.
What was he waiting for?
Invitations.
He clearly hadn't been. He's been taking our advice all along.
He couldn't just do it all at once.
You know, he's a man. Rennie is a man of pride. Ben is a man of pride. Okay.
I got a voice note. And shout out to Kane. He sends me a voice note. He's like, "What are you guys doing? Do you guys have inside info on this shit or what? The things that you guys are calling out here seem to be happening. What's going on here?" I was just like, "Dude, I don't know. Someone must be listening to the nonsense that we speak." and then putting it into play.
The haberdasheries.
So I don't know.
The SA players are busy listening to Rusty's genjutsu here, not doing what they're supposed to do. They want to lose respect in their communities.
Ah, bruh, Herschel Yankees, bruh. 77 minutes. You've got a 2-point lead. Why are you box kicking? Why?
Dude,
literally,
Gav, did you see the four on two, and the two on the All Black side were tight forwards, and they kicked the freaking ball, dude.
The Springboks are the only team.
An entire backline.
You can be, but two is enough because they don't give the ball enough air. That their skills, listen, right? Eish. If you don't use your skills enough, you're gonna suffer, and that's what's happening.
Starting to happen now, and it's getting worse and worse, dude.
And you know the funny thing about this is, if they don't shift their headspace fast enough, this losing streak could become extremely contagious and dangerous.
You know what kills me is when they're like, "Yeah, we've got the game plan is going well." When you see, like, Odwan Dungane is a great guy, great rugby player, you know. Mm. He in the studio was like, "But this is rubbish." He's like, "Why are we kicking the ball away? We've got players that know how to run ball in hand. We've got players that know how to play." He's like, "Dude, this Skulk is so said the disappointing." Same thing.
Skulk, you know, said the same thing.
Jean de Villiers said the same thing to a lesser extent. But, you know, Odwan Dungane and even Owen Khumani, I have to give him credit too, man. Like, Owen Khumani was like, "Dude, is it a case of..." He's like, "Because we know how these players are naturally. You've seen them play, how they got into this box setup. Is it a case of they are following the game plan because they think it works, or are they following the game plan because they don't want to get dropped the next weekend?" He was
being point blank. Guys don't want to get dropped.
And he said it straight. He's like, "Guys, we've all been in that environment where you're like, if I don't follow the game plan here, my jersey could go. But realistically, 77 minutes in the game, you box kick it?
Like, that didn't make
it's too risky. Hold on to the friggin' ball."
Look, we call that New Zealand are playing tall players. They're basically defending that high ball, right? SA can then go on to play the game and do what? Use the high ball. And it did nothing for them.
Guys, we called this whole thing of a tall back three, I don't know how many weeks ago. Was it like a month ago?
Yeah. We even said last episode, Sev was not there because SA was a kicking game and New Zealand want to block that out. That's why Sev was on the
didn't.
Play.
And the funny thing is, they didn't really block it out because George Bridge was freaking woeful. Jordy
That was another mistake made by Fozzie and his team, though.
Go with the honest hot truth hand, is, go with the hot
Bridge,
hand.
Bridge is that was a second game back. Second game back, and probably his fourth game this year. That was you were asking for a lot then, and I know that Albie was injured, but damn son, let's be honest, we put a lot of pressure on a guy that is just getting back into rugby and trying to find his form. That was a good call, yes, because they expected him to show, you know, you believe that class is permanent, right? But it just didn't work out that way. They shouldn't have done it. They should have given him more time, because I actually think they've dented his confidence, and I just hope that he gets another opportunity.
Because he's not in the 23 this week, so no confidence. No confidence, Tololo. And on that note, can someone read out the 23, the All Blacks 23? I wanted us to read out the Aussie 23, the Wallabies, because, you know, I don't want people to think we're too All Black centric, but seeing as we're on the topic anyway, All Blacks 23, please, someone, bless us.
Okay. So you got Joe Moody, Cody Taylor, Nipolau Lala, Moody, Brody Retallick. I've got a bone to pick with the ref was also bloody shocking, dude. Those scrums were poor. And he was blowing that shit fucked up. But anyway, that may need another, maybe on Monday. We'll go into it on Monday. I've got time for that shit too. So Brody Retallick, Scott Barrett, Aki Iwani, Adi Savea, Luke Jacobson, Brad Weber, Odin Barrett, Rico Iwani, David Avili, Anthony Brown, Severis, and Jordy Barrett. On the bench. And I'm just gonna say I'm a bit disappointed. Not from a thingy, but anyway. You got Omua who's coming in, George Bauer, Opa Chungafasi, Patrick Tuipolotu, Ethan Blackadder, DJ Perenara, Richie Mwonga, and Damian McKenzie.
Okay.
Should I do the box side as well?
Do the box side, because this is a pure blunt sledgehammer.
Dissection, yeah.
Box side, there have not been many changes. Let's just say Oxen chairs in Nyakani's tight head, and then what's it? Vises on the bench. Rapera. Let's move on.
Same team.
Same team. Question. By the way, at what? Yeah. Didn't Elton Natchez come on at like 75 minutes?
He didn't come on. They said they wanted to bring him on, but he did not come on. He was an unused sub.
Yo, didn't peel the Nachi.
How disrespectful is
that? Didn't peel the Nachi.
Even given the way that Andre Pollard was playing, he should have been on maybe at 60 minutes.
I called the junior owns. Woody. Andre Pollard owns. Can we please assess this one? Come on, seriously. This is ridiculous. The whole game.
Andre was irritating me because all he kept on doing was doing that slow down thing. I was like, it's your kick. What are you doing? You're kicking. And to slow down. I'm like,
what do you want to slow down? What more can you slow down?
As usual, putting a Michael Hooper on fire.
Yeah,
but he was good on Saturday.
I don't know what that one ate for breakfast, but he brought it. He brought
another the guy that didn't get much credit is Kwakha.
Yeah, Kwakha was good, eh? Kwakha
was also bloody good. I think him and Kolisi were up there on Saturday,
but
and
they
were big difference.
This is the center who came on second half and was on flames as well.
Oh, Willem
wasn't the center. Wasn't the center. No. Dude.
That was
Marco van Staden, China.
But this is what irritates me.
It's not like the Bucks don't have ridiculously good players. They have quality players. It's like, dude, it's like buying a Bugatti Veyron to take your child to school at Bordeaux Primary.
Ashanti.
Quality raw materials, but just the wrong. Why?
Applying effort to the wrong areas of life.
It's quite disappointing that the Bucks have come down to this, because, you know what, as much as yes, it's winning rugby that they're playing, this is not what Springbok rugby is about. You know, the game obviously kept its it kept us glued to our screens for so long, right? But we are used to watching those classic All Black Springbok matches where both sides score four tries or five tries.
It's just both sides are just going at it, bro.
Going at it, toe to toe,
and where you don't really care who wins. You know what I mean? Or you will care for like 5 minutes after the game, but you'll be like, geez, that was a bloody good game. You know, when you're exhausted, when it's just they're both just going at each other. And that's what this is meant to be, the best showcase of our game. It honestly is. I don't care what the guys in the Northern Hemisphere think, because it ain't Six Nations. All right.
Yeah.
The Springboks versus the All Blacks in Ellis Park usually is always a blockbuster test match. It is always the best game of the year. When they 100%. Played in Durban, Boks got tied 50 whatever.
Gavin.
He's gone.
No!
The guy is gone.
Gavin!
He's
still on the call. I think maybe he got a phone call.
Anyway.
Gavin. Gavin, yo. He disappeared for a good minute. Just now.
Yeah, sorry. You missed out on the rant of all rants. I'm telling you.
The service provider must have known.
Yeah. The service provider figured it out.
Let's look at the All Black side, guys. It's All Black side. Are you guys happy?
Me, I'm very happy.
I'm happy with it. But for me, okay. So, and I'm an Almour fan, right? I'm one of his biggest fans. But I really feel that this is the time to keep
Takiyao
back in the, and maintain him. Give it, let him build. I actually think I'm actually getting more and more impressed with him every time I see him. Yeah, he had a bad lineout throw. We lost the lineout, but I still believe that
how
guy.
How many has did Cody Taylor lose? So, let's be honest.
Hey, but with Cody, we make up for it because he gave us a try. So
Cody showed good in the Chirim Gara.
That guy's a boss.
I'm still a Bali. Now, look, I think Sony's been playing very, very well. But I think, you know, and far be it for me to say this, but Almour needs some game time. He needs some time in the saddle. And you can't start him in this game because he won't last 20 minutes. Bring him on. The way that guy loves to carry. Nah, give him, bring him on last 20 minutes. He gets the job done.
Yeah. Yo, quick point of thing here. They've won the series, right? The championship. They've won it already.
Yeah, signed, sealed.
Clean
sweep.
Exactly. This is just to make sure that even if the Boks try and be resurgent, ain't nothing happening. It's not happening.
I think this is a good. For the All Blacks, at least, they're in a very good position. You know, there are not a lot of goals that you can work towards in the lead up to a World Cup, you know what I mean? Yeah. Unless you're going to play the Lions or whatever. And given the fact that there was no rugby last year, and everyone was like, oh, look at these guys, they're making it, they're calling it a Grand Slam all of a sudden. You got a team that last year won 50% of their games, right? They come into this year, they're currently 100%. They haven't lost Jack. They've run it close in two games.
Mm.
They've got the opportunity to build on something and get that momentum as a team and as a unit. And that confidence they need as players as well as the technical team. So the All Blacks have something that they can really build on. And Fozzie needs this. If he's staying on now until 2023, he needs this to get that team going. And I know that this team has got far more potential than it's shown today, dude. Far more potential.
We know the gears are still there and they haven't been touched yet. Definitely. There's some untouched gears in this team.
These guys are doing those. You can see that they've not yet quite gelled as a team, right? You know, there's that level of All Blacks rugby, 2015 kind of level, where everything they touched turned to gold.
Pure.
These guys have got the ability. You can see the bits and pieces of it, right?
Yeah.
But the execution keeps just falling short. And this is the way they will build to that. I think this is going to be good for them. They need to put this test away. They need to go on that northern tour and just clean out house and go for a clean season in 2021,
Quick question. Like, quick theory, in fact. You know how the All Blacks played that Fijian team and they saw flames, everyone complained, what's going on with the All Blacks, la 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 la. I think there's a requirement for teams to show up ready to murder each other. Because that's the only time when things start to improve in the game of rugby. Like you're saying, 2015, right? You had the All Blacks, Manonu, the whole gang running rampant. The Springboks also brought about those legendary matches that we talk about now, you know? And now, if the Boks are doing this, whatever they're doing, I worry that...
No,
That the other teams don't get tested to their full potential.
Unless they play the All Blacks.
But the All Blacks, even them, are not at level gear 54. They're at gear 10 or something because their biggest rival, the Springboks, are showing up there with their laces untied.
Wow.
Yes.
This guy is on fire.
He's been waiting for this all week.
Wow.
All I'm saying is we need to be having a tad bit of concern for this Northern Hemisphere tour because guys are watching these games right now salivating like, yeah, we need to eat that on there. We need to eat that on there. And if the Springboks, like I'm saying again, if the Springboks don't pull up from this nosedive, anyway.
And you know the chat, right? You know the chat that goes on with these box supporters. World champions, world champions, world champions, world champions. You're like,
blood in the water and the sharks are swimming towards it.
To be fair, you know, the other problem that we've got is that, and all respect to Rassie and what he did with the Springboks, and all the way up to winning the 2019 World Cup. But I think this is part of the problem, that people now look at him as being a savior, all right? And it's actually started. You got a lot of fans, and maybe some of the guys, some of that more. What do you call them? Shit, my English is gone. Here we go, dictionary. I can't even find the word. So you got some of these analysts that are coming up and saying to you that, oh, no, you know, they're building towards something. This is what they're trying to do. We've stopped calling a spade because we believe that, no, Rassie, the man that had a plan in 2019, we believe that he's still going to have a plan in 2023. That can't be. Not with what we're seeing here. You've got to call it early and see that there's a problem. You need to call it early enough. And you know what? And call him out. Call Rassie out. Because I think he seems like the kind of guy that'll also take criticism and say, okay, you know, maybe you guys are right. Maybe, we're missing something.
Yeah, maybe we need to work on something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Because the Boks are way better than this.
Nah, they're way better. So let's just quickly touch on the Wallabies and Argentina and their game this weekend. A lot of the Pumas players are stranded.
That was some BS.
That's some stupid stuff, man. This Matero.
Stranded, how? What happened? Who died with?
They broke COVID protocols.
What?
So they were. Yeah. So they were.
To Byron Bay or something.
Yeah, it wasn't even that far out. And they were kicked out. They were kicked out of the competition as a result.
Come on. After Mario made a whole big hullabaloo about photos and
all that chaos. Photo.
No, but I don't think, you know what the thing is as well. So,
by the way, I was on his side about the photo thing. That was rubbish.
That was BS. That was real BS. And
I loved it. I loved it.
We know I loved it.
Wow. Why?
Because Gavin has an issue with tweets from whatever year that was. And dudes and our dudes act as in
but Montoya is now the captain, dude. So why would you do that, dude?
Yeah, but Montoya supported Matera. No. He's complicit. He's complicit with such idiocy.
All right. Okay.
But in the spirit of the game and having things
it's disrespectful.
It's disrespectful. Especially since other guys had cancelled before. And everyone had told the line. I thought that was necessary.
Yeah, it was poor. It was done in very poor taste. Very, very poor taste. Yeah, you know, that there's kind of no excusing that kind of stuff, but
yeah.
Buddy,
Toddy.
There's no excusing it. You can't excuse it. But anyway, so Wallabies and the Argentines.
How many Argentinian players were kicked out?
Eight. Six. Six and two members of management.
You have one job. Literally, one job.
To go and play in Australia.
Just stay in this bubble thing.
Just go to play rugby, bruh. Why do you want to go be a tourist?
And then we'll get you a private jet.
You know, it may be good for them. It may be good for them, guys.
In what way?
Oh, yeah. Siege mentality. I mean,
get some guys, get the other guys in there. Let's see, give them an opportunity to play. They probably weren't going to play.
I like
and,
that.
You know, these guys will come out and prove us all wrong. You know what I mean? Because these guys they've got a massive squad. They've been traveling for some time.
Okay.
And not a lot of them have had an opportunity. This is their chance to come out, just throw all caution to the wind. You don't care. You've lost every game anyway. Go out and get your best.
I like that thought process. I think you're right. Let's see what the new blood, what the other guys can do. For sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's see.
So what's the team? What you have the team list?
Okay, so they got Martinez, Julian Montoya, Enrique Helan, Vido Pagadi. No, he's been around, but you know they changed them quite a bit. Vido Pagadi Zaval. Okay, Lamvanini is back.
Hey, the homie. Yellow
Gonzalez. Gonzalez is at 6, Marcus Kramer at 7, Bruni comes back into the side at 8, Bertrano is still at 9, Carreras at 10, Ofeli at 11, nice. Chocobaris 12, Cinti at 13, Moroni at 14, and Malia at 15. So it's a lot of the guys that are the, you know, the Mateta of this world that have been given, and I thought that was poor of them even picking Mateta at 8 when you've got a guy like Bruni. One shit game and you drop him and you act like, you know, he's the world has ended. It doesn't work.
So let's move swiftly on to predictions, gentlemen, because we're running out of time. Quickly, can I get some predictions?
New Zealand by Jarbo, 10.
Yours first.
I'll say New Zealand by 10. Oh. And hold on, New Zealand by 15. By 15.
I agree with you there. New Zealand by 15. HB?
New Zealand by 20.
Ooh, 20. Okay.
20.
Okay. Hey, Richie Bawonga's back, guys.
Oh, I forgot. Richie's back. We didn't even speak about that. Yep, I say New Zealand by 17. And Wallabies and Pumas?
Wallabies by 15.
For me, the fairy tale, yes, I would love to see the Pumas get a win. It's unlikely, so I'll probably go Wallabies.
Fairy tale continues.
Wallabies were poor, though, last week. Well, in terms of putting these guys away. But anyway,
what
I'll go Wallabies by
20. Like?
Wallabies by 20.
Yeah.
It's the same team.
It's the same team, except for the loose head. forgot his name. Pattaya and Samu.
And Samu, yeah.
All right. So, thank you very much for joining us, guys. We will be reviewing the games early on next week. Let's just strap ourselves in for a festival of rugby on Saturday, and let's see who comes out on top. Any last words?
Again, guys, tons of rugby on TV. You've got the NPCs back. You've got European rugby back.
Rainy Ranger, I'm literally using people.
For tickets.
Just sit down and watch. Show.
Goodbye. Bye.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
You tell your team, Gavin.
Sure. You know I'm one of the I'm a I'm one of the Mulus for life. Waikato. Waikato got my cowbell. Ting, ding, 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 ding. All right, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm out. Peace out, guys. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. We'll catch up next week.